Good morning to each of you here, and good morning to you that are on Facebook Live. We're glad to have all of you. I want to say just a word more. Casey started this conversation already about the Lenten season starting on Wednesday, a week from this week. And I just want to encourage you to take this opportunity to draw near to God through prayer. And maybe some fasting, day or two here, day or two there, just to really draw near to God. I've just finished reading a couple of books on revival. And I would ask you to pray for a move of the Spirit of God, for revival in America, a revival here, a revival of our hearts. I come away from reading those books with this conclusion. You cannot help but pray for revival when you've seen what God has done in the past. Amen? When you have seen the hand of God in America or India or Korea or China or South Africa or wherever these revivals have happened, you can't read about that and not be changed. You can't read about that and not want it here in this place. And so, that's my hour plea to you, pray this Lenten season for spiritual renewal and revival of the Holy Ghost kind. I know there's a lot of things to pray about. Casey has mentioned that. You just look at the prayer list and you know there's a lot of things to pray about. And there's things that aren't on there. But more than anything else, I think we need a move of God's Spirit, a Holy Ghost visitation. So I'm asking you to set some time aside this Lenten season, and we would welcome you here. As Casey has said, from 11 to 5, this sanctuary is going to be open, and it's just going to be available for people to come in and pray if you'd like to do that. Memorial Stones, Part 3. If you're new today listening online or haven't been in the first two parts of the Memorial Stones, this little series is just a reminder to us of what God has done, how God has blessed us. The stones sitting here on the stage didn't happen to come out of the Jordan, but they're stones nonetheless. And those of you that heard the opening of this series know that God told Joshua, take up 12 stones out of the middle of the Jordan as the people are passing through on dry land and set them up over here. And when your sons and when your daughters ask them in time, what do those stones mean? You tell them what God has done. You tell them what God has done. And so that's the purpose of this series, to remind us of what God has done right here in this place. Miracles. And I got a whole bunch of memorial stone parts left to share with us over the next month or more. But I want it all for the glory of God, that we're reminded what God has done. So I'm going to look at Scripture a little bit from Ephesians chapter 3 today. If you've got your Bible, that's where we're going to be. And then I will embark on Memorial Stones, Part 3. Ephesians 3 first, if you got your Bible. It'll also be on the big screen. I'm reading from the New King James Version. And as it happens, there is a sewing group that meets here on Thursday mornings. And I believe these same verses were used in their devotional this last Thursday. These are powerful verses. And I want to read them to you and then make a point or two. Ephesians 3, picking it up in verse 14, this is a prayer from the Apostle Paul. Okay, he's praying. He's writing this church to Ephesus, but in this part of the letter, this is a prayer. Hear what he says. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, So he's praying for this church that he, God, would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. He's praying to God for the church. And then he says this, verse 20, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. I love that prayer. And speaking of prayer, let me just offer up a word of prayer before we go any further. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you again how you have blessed us, how you have moved powerfully and mightily by your Spirit. I pray that you do so again this morning. Father, I just want to pray briefly too for those that are hurting tremendously this morning. They might be here, they might be watching, they might just be part of the community, they might be people still wondering about their loved ones in Turkey and Syria after these tremendously devastating earthquakes, but we know, oh God, that people are hurting, and so we lift them up to you today and ask, oh God, as Paul prayed to you about the church, for the church in Ephesus, I pray, oh God, comfort them, encourage them, strengthen them, hold them in your gracious palm today. I thank you again, Father, for police officers and first responders who tend to these needs that happen in our communities. I just pray you'd bless them and protect them and keep watch over them. And now, Lord, as we are reminded again just for a little while in this place, how you have done exceedingly abundantly more than I could have ever thought or asked, we give you praise and we give you glory. Guide us by your Spirit, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to make mention just of a couple of these verses here in Paul's prayer that have been very, very important to me on this journey in this 21 years at Motley Free Methodist Church. I have prayed, I have longed for our community, as he said in verse 19, to know the love of Christ. I've prayed thousands of times for our community to know Christ, to genuinely know Jesus. Not more than just knowing about God and believing about God in my mind and my brain, but to genuinely know Christ. I, as you, have prayed many, many times that people of God would be filled with the fullness of God. I love these words. These things have always been my prayer, that people would genuinely know Jesus. And when we genuinely know Jesus, we would live for him. Like Paul said, that we may be filled with the fullness of God. Friends, let me just tell you something. We can't be filled with the fullness of God if we're still filled with the fullness of the world. Are you hearing me? We can't have both. Either we long for more of Jesus, or we're allowing the world to fill us up. We can't do both. And I love these words. Oh, I love these words in verse 20 when he says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. I love that. I wonder, have you ever estimated, Have you ever underestimated the goodness of God, friends? Am I the only one? When I think of this verse, Paul is saying, now to him, he's crying out to God on behalf of the church at Ephesus, but perhaps on the church for us. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you even think about. I have had to repent more than once for severely underestimating the goodness of God, the power of God. We serve a God, when we come to faith in Christ, friends, we serve a God that is limitless in his goodness. He can do exceedingly abundantly more than you even think about or you dare to ask. That's the God we serve. Way too often in the course of 21 years here, way too often, I have been guilty of thinking in human terms and not inviting the limitless, all-powerful God to take control and move. Way too often, I have been guilty of that. I have had to confess and repent before God. And I simply challenge us today, when we think of a verse like this, we must in fact act like, live like, pray like, trust like we believe in the living God and his limitless goodness. Amen? Let me say this too before I press on part three of Memorial Stones. When I give you these little snippets of what God has done here in the past years, and I've got a bunch of parts to this series left, the miracles will get bigger and bigger and bigger. But when I tell you these miracles of God and these memorial stone stories, I want you to know there's always details that I don't have to elaborate on. There's always more details. I'm just giving you some. But even with every story I tell you, with every memorial stone part, there's more to the stories. I want to give you enough to be able to see the hand of God so that you too will give him glory. After we purchased the Riverside Church, after God gave it to us, I told you that story a couple weeks ago. We were enjoying that newer building over there. We were seeing a few more people come, and we were able to do more ministry there because we had more room, we had more facilities. I was still bivocational. This was 2004 and 5. Later in 2005, God was favoring us with a few more people. I told you the first Sunday we moved in there were 69 people, but prior to that we were worshiping with about 40 some. But in 2005, God was favoring us and blessing us, and there was probably twice that many. There was probably 80, 85. And it started to be a full-time job for a guy that already had a full-time job. I was still at the plant. I still had the farm at Leader. And the board and I began to pray, God, show us the way forward here, because it's clear you have been blessing. And it's becoming more and more evident that the church needs a full-time pastor, not a part-time pastor. And so the board and I were praying about that. We've been praying about that for some months. And coincidentally, some of you will remember this because you were there in 2005, the Free Methodist Church of North America had embarked on a new initiative called One More Soul. You remember that, Dale? Chris, you remember that? Some of you remember that. The Free Methodist Church embarked on this initiative for all of us in the North American Free Methodist Church. They called it One More Soul, and it was simply to be aware, every one of us, every church aware, even if it's one person at a time, every soul is valuable, and we need to reach them for Jesus. One more soul. Part of that initiative, they said to us as they were beginning to roll that out, there were going to be two $25,000 grants given to just two churches in America. There was 900 and some Free Methodist churches in America at the time, and two of them would get a grant to help propel them forward in the One More Soul initiative. Any and every church that was interested in that was to simply fill out this application, some several pages, and send it in and let the Board of Bishops and their committee determine which two churches in America would get these grants. The board and I thought about this and we discussed it. And we prayed about this. Perhaps if Free Methodist Church of Motley got this $25,000 grant, perhaps then we could invite the pastor, myself, to be full-time here, and that $25,000 would help us pay him over the next couple years. And so we prayed about that, and we decided we're going to fill out the application. Dan Rose, who was part of our board at that time, filled out the application, wrote a wonderful proposal that explained to the Board of Bishops that God was, in fact, at work in Motley. But in the proposal, Dan wrote, Motley Free Methodist only had a part-time pastor. And so Dan wrote in the application, I wish I still had that filled out application. I do not. I looked for it the other day, but I can't find it. I wish I still had a copy, but I remember it very, very well. He wrote in that application, as long as Motley Free Methodist was the evangelical presence in the town, we felt that if the Motley Free Methodist would be granted this grant from the larger Free Methodist Church, we could put that money towards a full-time pastor, and within a couple of years having a full-time pastor, there would be enough people in the church to support the pastor. We would be on our way. That's what he wrote. A bunch of other things, of course, but that's the long and the short of it. Dan showed us, the board and myself, the application. We thought it was very well done. We sent it in. This was early fall 2005. Because I was still very busy, still at the plant, still doing a little farming, working on ordination, pastoring the church, I took every opportunity that I could to be at the church doing what had to be done. And on the day after Thanksgiving in 2005, I had obviously the day off from the plant, so I was sitting in the office in the church over there. The phone rang on this Friday after Thanksgiving, and it was our superintendent who knew that we had put in this application. He knew what was in the application. He knew why we had applied for it. He agreed wholeheartedly with the application. He thought it was good. And so he called me that day, the day after Thanksgiving. He said, Jim, I would really rather be there in person to give you this good news, but since I'm 450 miles away, I just wanted to call and tell you that Motley Free Methodist is going to receive one of the $25,000 grants from the Free Methodist Church of America. Glory to God. There was only two of them in the entire United States, and Motley was about to get one of them. I don't mind telling you, when I hung up the phone from Superintendent John, I cried. And I said, "Thank you, Lord." I said, "Thank you, Lord, because you have spoken again. It was hard for me to believe. We're one little old church in one little old place, a long ways from anything else in the Free Methodist world. And yet God had favored us with one of those grants. I hung up with the superintendent, and I called Sherry, and then I called Dan. And I told them both the good news. I says, God has done another miracle. You see, friends, part of the reason I gave to us the scripture from Ephesians chapter 3, and part of the reason I love that verse, and I've seen it lived out, I've seen it played out over and over and over, when it says, God, who can and does do exceedingly and abundantly more than we ever ask or think, he had spoken again. Humanly speaking, and I will speak further stories, sessions on the memorial stones, humanly speaking, way too often we put God in this box and we treat him like he can only do what we can do. When in fact, he had stopped the Jordan again. So some days later, I called the board together. We had yet another meeting. We were all in agreement that it was time for me to leave the plant and be full-time pastor of Motley Free Methodist Church. This was December 2005. About 2 weeks later, I knew I had to go to my boss at the plant. He knew, you see, I was pastoring the church. He knew full well what God was doing, because most Mondays I would go down, and after I'd been in the plant a while, I'd go down and see him and report to him what's going on, and he'd say, "How's it going at church?" He knew what I was doing, but he never dreamed I would leave the lucrative pay and benefits I had at the plant. And so I knew this Monday, I knew I needed to go see him. I guess perhaps looking back, he maybe thought, Jim, you can just do both. And I went to him that day and I said, "Mike, I haven't given anyone notice in 20 years, but I'm going to need to give you my 3-week notice. I'm going to leave." And he couldn't believe it. He knew what God was doing here, because I was telling him how the church was going and God was blessing. He was inquiring about that almost weekly. I guess he figured I'm just going to keep doing both. And even though that's 17 years ago, I remember what he said like it was yesterday. He said this. He said, "Jim, I know what you make here. And I know what churches pay pastors. what are you going to do? Because he knew, having been connected to a little church himself, he knew the discrepancy, shall we say, between the two. And I answered him twofold. I said, Mike, if God has in fact called me to the ministry, and I believe he has, I don't know why he did, but I believe he has, because I wouldn't have called me, but I believe if God has called me to the ministry, I believe he will take care of me and us monetarily. He bought that somewhat. And then I said this. I said, Mike, someday my life will be over. And I will stand before Almighty God. And he will not ask me how much money you've made. He ain't going to ask me how many trophies I have, how much benefits I had. Someday I will stand before God and he will ask me, what have you done for my kingdom? That's what he will ask me. Mike knew and he agreed at that point that God had called me to the ministry and he couldn't do anything but bless me and wish me well. I put in my last 3 weeks and ended my 20-year career at the seafood plant here in Motley. It was January 2006. The Apostle Paul said, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, to him be the glory. I want us to know today, friends, before I wrap this up, don't be guilty of putting God in your box like Jim has been. Thinking, well, if we can't do that powered by Armstrong, our might, our abilities, our intellect, our creativities, it probably won't get done. Don't put God in a box. Because Paul reminds us, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think about. That's the God we serve. He is able to stop the Jordan and allow 2 million people to walk through the flooded Jordan on dry ground. He is able, I told you this a couple weeks ago, to provide to us that building and this 6 city lots for almost nothing. He is able to show us in this little old place, in this little old town away from all the rest of the Free Methodist world, he is able to provide provision to show us the way forward so I could leave the plant and become the pastor with that grant. He is able. And he's able to forgive us of our sin. Sometimes we think, you don't know what I've done, Jim. No, I don't. I was just with the Teen Challenge guys again last week, and I said to them, no, I don't know what you've done, but God does, and he is able to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is able. And he is able to move mountains in your life. But we've got to trust him. We've got to surrender to him. We've got to give everything to him. We've got to give him the steering wheel of our lives and say, God, by faith I surrender to you. I put my faith in Jesus Christ. Take over. And when we get to that point, individually or maritally or a church or a town, he will take over because he is able. Now I shall end as I started. You can't experience, like I've experienced in just reading some books, some of them I've read more than once, but you can't experience seeing the hand of God in full-blown revival and not want some more of it. You can't experience the bounty and the beauty and the joy of heaven and not want more of it. And if you've never been there, whether you're watching online today or you're sitting here, if you've never been there, I'm asking you, you've got to surrender everything to Christ. You've got to trust him because he is able to take you through the Red Sea and across the Jordan. You say, Jim, what about the 20, 30,000 deaths that just happened in Turkey and Syria? He is able to carry us through even that kind of tragedy, that kind of horror, and everything else. But you've got to trust him. Jane and Jess, let's get ready to sing this song. And if you're watching today, or you're sitting here today and you haven't surrendered to Christ, it has to start there. It has to. For by grace are you saved through faith. It is not of yourselves. You can't work your way there. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. We could boast about what we have or haven't done. It's the grace of God and my faith in Christ. It is a surrendering to him that's real. And so I'm asking you today, if you're watching today or sitting here and you haven't done that, while we're singing this song, please cry out to him by faith. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin, come into my life and take over. And for all the rest of us, I pray that this season, now to Lent and through Lent, we will pray for a pouring out of the Spirit of God like Motley has never seen before. There's a revival happening in Asbury College right now. It started on Wednesday. The Spirit of God has descended upon that place, and hundreds haven't left there in 4 days. That's what happens when God shows up. I want more of him. But we must repent of sin. It's conditional. We must seek his face. We must pray like we've never prayed before and call upon the Spirit of God. Come, Holy Spirit, for Jesus' sake. It's happened before, and I'm praying, oh God, do it again. Let's pray. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us today. Hover o'er us, Holy Spirit. Bathe our trembling hearts and brows. Come into our presence, O God, like you've done before. Oh, how we long for more of you, O God. And so pour out your Spirit upon us in Motley, but in America. Oh, how we need you. I pray again, Father, if there's someone listening today, or will listen to this on Facebook or something even later today, I pray, Father God, first and foremost, that they would trust you completely, that they would give their lives completely to you. Eternity depends on what we do with Jesus. And we may think we've got all kinds of time, and we may have a little, and we may not. So I pray that today is a day of salvation for some. They will simply get alone with you by faith and cry out to you in prayer, "Forgive me, Lord. Come into my life, Jesus. Save me and take over." And Father, for the church, I pray a move of your Spirit that brings an awakening to a slumbering giant called the church. A move of your Spirit that gives us new eyes to see you and ears to hear you and do your will and long to draw closer to you. Father, one more time we pray for the emergency responders as the sirens go off and the people go out. We just pray for the situation. We lift it up to you, asking that you'd watch over all involved. Go with each one here today, Father, with a burden to know you more, to love you more, to be born again, and to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Go with each one, Father, and use us for the glory of God, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen.